Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Well, welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, your host. Excited to be with you here on a beautiful October. Wow, it's the fall. I can't believe it. This is my favorite time of year. We've got, football season in full swing, Halloween around the corner, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Oh, I love this time of year. Crisp, cool air in the morning. Exciting time. Well, thank you for being here. I'm excited about our topic as well. And we're talking about self-directed IRA topics today. We've got our main guest, Matt Sorensen, our expert extraordinaire, going to be joining us here in a moment. And we're going to go probably to him here closer to the bottom of the hour. We'll see here. We've got a couple experts as usual. If you're new to the show, this is all about saving taxes, building wealth, protecting our assets, better living the American dream, bringing it all together. And so if you're not listening to a tax and legal radio show podcast or call-in show or something on a regular basis, hopefully this is your choice. Recommend every week you catch this live, and if not, on a podcast by going to the website at markjkohler.com or through our law firm or accounting firm, or simply downloading it on iTunes and getting those regular updates. So hope you're here on a regular basis. Well, today I sent out a newsletter that I had to send it out twice. I'm embarrassed for some of you that ended up going, man, I got two emails from Mark today. I apologize about that. The subject line, there was a mistake, and so I had to put correction out there. I didn't want everyone to think we were talking about trademarks again and business registrations. So, of course, today is self-directed IRA tips and strategies. But I packed the newsletter with a couple articles on this as well. The Mitt Romney $20 million IRA, we'll be talking about that here in a little bit, and also some tax strategies in a written format. We'll be talking about those as well. But exciting stuff. And I realized I haven't been talking enough about IRAs and 401ks and those strategies. We talk about it every day with clients. And in my workshop just held in Chicago over the weekend, we talked about IRAs again. But we haven't had a radio show dedicated to this topic in a long time. So that's what we're doing today. So some of you may be directed to this show to listen to it after a consult with one of our attorneys in the office. So we hope to wow you today. Well, our first expert on the show today and a regular contributor is Brian Brown, our CPA manager at the accounting firm K&E CPAs. He's been a CPA in California for years, joined our firm a few years ago. He's just a huge addition. We love him. Many of our clients have spoken with him on a regular basis. So, Brian, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
Well, we're excited for your little tip. I can't believe you're actually on the show today with the
tax
deadline.
Well, I can't either because I'm actually working as we're talking.
Well, I know.
I'm gonna give you a minute and then get back to what I was doing. But it's October 15th coming up, less than a week. And I know here at the office, we're all pushing to get as many returns out the door as we can. And there's a couple of things that, one that actually has to do with October 15th. Most CPA firms will send out the returns and the 8879, the e-file forms. People wait on because they owe money for one reason or another, and sometimes they forget to send them in. Don't forget to send in your 8879 so that we can e-file your returns. We can't e-file without them. You can't just call us and say, oh, e-file. You know, we've actually sent out emails to a lot of our clients that haven't got us their e-file forms yet. So just be sure that that your returns are filed, because especially if you owe money, you don't want to file late. You don't want your accountant to, you don't want to get a notice from the IRS that says you've got a late filing penalty. And because those are horrendous, and all of a sudden you call the accountant and say, well, I never got your e-file form. You know, don't be sure you get that done.
That's just
a little sidelight. So
yeah, you know. No, great tip. And you know, I want to mention this while you bring it up. I know we've got a list of clients that have some older years that needs to get done, some tax returns. They've come to us and said, hey, Mark, we need to get these prior year tax returns done. Please know that after October 15th, we're going to be in touch with you. And if some of you have some of those older returns that need to get done, this is the time to do it in the fall before the next tax season hits. So don't think that we've forgotten about you. So, but anyway, good comment there. It sounds like you've got another tip for us, too,
well,
a little tax tip.
You just stole my thunder, Mark.
Is that what you were going to talk about?
That's what I was going to talk about. If you're late filing on old year returns, now's the time to get them in. Don't wait till December, January, because you know what? Then we're starting to get busy again. So let's get those in.
Hey, let me bring up one quick tip with you that I wanted to ask you about, and maybe I'm going to blindside you here for just a second, but let's bring it up. We had a client that we've had several clients that will do some advertising with little league teams. They'll do advertising at the racetrack. Let's think of a NASCAR. You know, GoDaddy has their GoDaddy car. There's the Quaker State car, the Pizza Hut car, all these different things. A lot of people will pay for advertising with some sort of recreational outlet. And I was just talking to Chet Dalton in our office, and we were going over this with a client this week. It's doable. I think people can take that write-off. We have to be careful not to get too aggressive. Brian, what's your take on that, if clients want to advertise with a little league team, a softball team, a race car, something like that?
Again, it's doable. But, you have to be careful. A lot of times, you know, especially little league and things like that, or even, you know, race car, you know, sometimes you'll have a kid on a little league team and you'll advertise for that team. You know, well, you know, you've got some benefit there for your kid. You know, so, you know, you kind of need to make sure that things are being done for the right reason. Again, if you've got nobody on the team, you're just supporting and whatever, that's great. But a lot of times, I know even in the race car industry, you know, like, and especially not necessarily big time, but in the small time, they'll have people who are actually in the races, and they'll do advertising. They'll say, oh, well, my racing is advertising because I've got my name on the car, blah. You know, you really need to be careful on this.
Yeah. And I think you made a good point, is that we're going to try to find a way to write it off. We need to be reasonable. I think one of the biggest issues is, to get specific here for just a moment, then we'll let you run, is that people need to be able to show that there's a direct correlation to the advertising and to your product. If you are if you sell jeans on eBay to China, and your website is jeanstochina.com, and you're going to advertise on a little league team, Jeans to China, there's no correlation.
Yeah.
But if you have a pizza place in town and you want to advertise on all the T-shirts on the little league Pizzas R Us, well, then write it off. We're all there. And I think with race cars or blimps or TV or whatever, you know, any advertising you're doing, you just need to be able to show that, hey, I'm getting clients from this or customers from this.
Yeah.
And I think as an accounting firm, we're going to be all over that. You just have to be.
Show the business purpose. You got to show the business purpose. Again, I see dentists who advertise on little league teams, you know, great. You know, I mean, because you're in the community. But, you know, you've got to, well, that's just for an example. Anyway.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I know you're working hard there getting tax returns out the door, so we'll see you come up for air after October 15th and have you on the show in the fall here. Thanks again for coming out.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care. That's Brian Brown, our manager there at K&E CPAs, reviewing tax returns nonstop for the next 7 to 8 days, so big stuff. Hey, I wanted to ask, now that we've got most of the show's underway here for about 8-9 minutes here, and we've got a number of people on the line listening, I wanted to just make a special request for some of you that could take 2 minutes here. I know many of our clients are listening to the show now. If you could help me out here, we've got our accounting team working hard to get returns out the door. And let me just point this out. For all of you that are listening that are tax clients of ours, please know that we will be contacting you, and especially as we deliver the tax return to you, to make sure that we have that consultation, that conversation about tax planning this year. If some of you, during this big rush over the next 2 weeks, feel like that you just got manhandled and your tax return was done and sent to you and you didn't have that conversation, please know it's because we're up against a deadline. We'll schedule that conversation with you in the next few weeks. Please reach out and call Marisha. Call the office and go, hey, I need to have that conversation. I didn't get a chance to talk with Jeremy or Chad or Aaron or Jody or whoever it was. Give us a call. We don't want you to feel that you were used and abused and that conversation didn't take place. That's our style here at our accounting firm. We're strategizing with you. But here's what I need from you. If you could, any of you that are clients that had a great experience talking with our accountants this year, if you could send me a quick email with just a 1 or 2 sentence testimonial about the tax preparer you worked with or the accountant. Maybe it was Sandy in the accounting team or Elaine or someone over in the accounting team that you worked with. Send me just 2 sentences and say, hey, it was great working with Jody. She really did reach out and help me feel like I got a better result on my tax return. I've got a big staff meeting this week. We're trying to energize and let our teams know that there's clients out there that appreciate that conversation. Most CPAs don't communicate. Folks, as you know out there, CPAs don't talk. That's just a characteristic of most CPAs. We're anal, retentive, we're numbers people, and we really want to encourage that conversation with our team. So if any of you could send me a quick email today and say, Mark, here's something good about your team I wanted to say. It could be the administrative team, Marisha, Olivia, August, any of them. Send me an email. I'd appreciate it. That's Mark at markjkohler.com. Okay, well, we're going to take another contributor here that's a regular expert on our show, and then we're going to have Matt Sorensen here at the bottom of the hour talking about self-directing our IRAs and 401ks. We're going to take live calls and emails. If anybody has a question that you want us to hit during the show, specifically about IRAs and 401ks, shoot me that email now. I'm going to be opening up my Outlook and looking for those questions. But until then, when we have Matt Sorensen join us, let's bring out our second expert on the show, Lee Chen, regular contributor, our attorney running our California operations for KKOS Lawyers. Lee, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be on again.
Well, we are glad you're here. Now, I know you bring us some little tips and strategies of things that you bump into throughout the week. What do you got for us this week?
Absolutely, Mark. And this is kind of a hyper-legal issue, but I've been seeing this. And so I want to just let the clients know something about when they're entering into contracts, especially if you're doing real estate. And specifically what I'm talking about is integration and merger clauses in contracts. Now, I know a lot of people aren't going to know what that is, okay?
Yeah, you just blew my mind there. Integration and merger. Everybody thinks, oh, my gosh, I'm not a huge corporation. I don't need to worry about this. But tell us what those terms mean. This is good.
It's a term in the contract that'll say something like this. And usually you'll see it like in the last paragraphs of the contract that'll say, with respect to the contract, this is the final, complete, and exclusive agreement of the parties and may not be contradicted by any prior oral or written agreements. Or you may see something like, this agreement cannot be modified except by a signed writing agreed to by the parties. Okay, and a lot of people look at that and they may not pay attention to it, but that is really kind of like a lawyer's trick in terms of people who look at these contracts and have to enforce it. Basically, that term means is that whatever your agreement is, you have to look solely to the four corners of the contract. So if there were prior agreements, prior emails, prior promises, anything like that, if it's not in the four corners of that agreement, you can't use it. It's not enforceable. You know, you go to court and you try to say, well, he sent me an email saying that he would do this, that, and the other. If it's not in the four corners of the agreement, the judge won't even look at it.
Well, now this is a big deal, because, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, because we have people come to us all the time that said, hey, we shook our hands, we had a deal, we have an email, and we'll say, great, do you have a contract? Yeah, we signed a contract. And now that contract is normally going to have that verbiage, and it blows everything else out of the water. And it's like...
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's just important because, you know, as a lawyer, that's one of the first things that I will look at a contract when they say, well, you know, I was promised this, that, and the other. I will see, that's one of the first questions I'll have, and look for that clause, because if it's in there and I don't see that term in the contract, you know, you're kind of screwed. So you want to make sure that if they promised you, you know, you're buying a property and they say, well, I'll credit you $5,000 at the end of the closing, you know, and he puts that in an email and you feel very comfortable, oh, I got it in writing in an email. If it's not in the four corners of the contract, that email is worthless.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to add just one more tip to this, and I'm not going to, of course, share my client's name. we actually have that goal around here to keep that client privilege sacred. But I just literally, within the hour before the show started, sent an email to a client that sent me over a contract, said, hey, I'm going to bring this guy onto my business. We've got, you know, we might give him a piece of the action. We're going to give him some royalties, and he's going to do all these things. And I said, great. And I looked at the agreement that this new person had provided my client, and I said, looks good in general, but there's no teeth to it. What happens if he doesn't do his job? What happens if this, this, and this? And I knew there had been verbal conversations about, well, if it doesn't come through, you're out, or whatever. And I said, in that email to him just an hour ago, I said, that's got to be in the agreement. Because if we don't have it in the agreement, and you're sad and upset about this guy and his performance down the road, you're not going to be able to get rid of him. And it's going to be a litigation nightmare. And he sent me an email right back. Oh, my gosh, yeah, I like it. You're right. Can you work on that? Let's get that agreement back to him with our changes. So anyway, very, very common issue. And folks, you've got to get it in writing and talk about the worst-case scenario. I think it's just so important.
Absolutely, Mark. I couldn't agree with you more, especially if the disagreements come. That's when we're going to look at what's in those four corners, and that's going to really dictate what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, very, very good. Well, okay. Well, Lee, anything else you want to add to that? I guess we'll let you go here, and we're going to dive into our topic for the day. Anything you got left?
No, no, I'm fine, Mark. I'm looking forward to listening to Matt speak on really one of his many areas of expertise.
Perfect, perfect. Great. Well, Lee, thanks for joining us. Folks, if you need help with a contract you're drafting, no matter where you're at in the country, we help clients over the phone, FedEx, fax, and email. If you need local counsel, of course, we're going to get you local counsel, but give us a shot first. We'd like to be your quarterback and help you out in your contracts and negotiations, no matter where you're doing business, help you set up the proper entity, make sure you got your tax and legal plan. And folks, it's not just clicking a mouse. It's understanding why you're setting up an entity, how you're going to maintain it, and understanding how it's going to benefit you. So please reach out to us. We're going to be affordable and be your resource. Lee can be that guy. So Lee, thank you so much. That's Lee at kkoslawyers.com. Thanks, Lee.
My pleasure, Mark. Talk to you again.
Great tip. All right, we'll see you. Okay, well, folks, now we are at the meat of the hour. We are so excited to have Matt Sorensen with us, who recently just spoke at the Retirement Industry Trade Association Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. Matt Sorensen, extraordinaire attorney who has opened our new Phoenix office. And if you saw our newsletter today, you got a little picture of them in front of his whiteboard teaching away. Matt, welcome to the show. What did you think of that picture?
Well, thanks, Mark, first for having me on the show. I love calling in live from Phoenix, Arizona. How do I like the picture? Well, my website has a lot of photos on it. As many of you might have found out from the newsletter, I launched my website. I've got a lot of blog posts up. I'm going to be much more religious about blogging. But I do need some new photos, and I'm working on that. I know it. So don't send your feedback yet on that. I got some surgery scheduled, some tanning sessions. I got a weight loss program I'm gonna get on. So.
Yeah, one word, cleanse. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna use my cell phone to take the pictures either. I'm gonna, we're gonna do it right.
Well, I didn't think it looked too bad because it was kind of an in-action photo. You know, you were like
right,
in the
yeah.
moment. So it looked good. It looked good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I'm going to do better, though. I want to let you know that.
You're awesome. Well, folks, if you've listened to our radio show before, you'll know that Matt will host the show from time to time when I'm out of the, you know, the pocket here. And he is my partner, 50-50 in our accounting firm. I mean, a law firm, sorry, in our law firm. Matt is a lifelong friend, and he helps run the day-to-day operations of the firm. And so we're excited to have you here, Matt. Okay, so the topic today, self-directing our IRAs and 401ks, we're going to take live calls, live emails. Is there a thing such as live email? But anyway, shoot me an email. I'll ask Matt the question here. It's mark@markjkohler.com or mark@kkoslawyers.com. Shoot me an email. And Matt, tell us about this big conference you were at. I mean, this is a twice-a-year conference. It was in Phoenix just over this weekend, last week. What was it about?
Yeah, well, RITA is a trade group that really is the major association for self-directed retirement accounts in that industry, and they really represent the major trust companies and banks, third-party administrators who handle self-directed retirement plans. And so Mark and I have both spoke at a lot of their conferences over the years, and this one happened to be in Scottsdale, and I spoke again at it and involved in the institute that they've initiated for some certification programs for people in the industry. But it was a good program. I always learn a little bit when I go there too. You know, I mean, I work in this area on a daily basis, and my primary practice and the majority of my time is now spent doing self-directed IRA work, whether it's helping clients talk about prohibited transaction rules or setting up IRA LLCs or even defending clients in tax court, you know, or before the IRS. I mean, you know, we do a little bit of that too. So, but you know, there's lots of new things coming out that affect the self-directed IRA industry. There's cases that have came out. Tried to highlight some of those in the newsletter article. There's lots more. It was a good opportunity for me to kind of prepare some remarks and kind of search out the cases and get some highlights for everybody who's working
right.
in the industry.
Well, Matt,
for clients.
Matt, let me just cut you off. You're missing the whole tone of the show. We didn't want to talk about what was at the conference. We wanted to talk about the partying that took place at the hotel at the conference. So you missed the whole boat there. You know, I mean, what was going on? Was there, you know, crazy, you know, kind of military group? What was that? You know, someone just jumped out of a cake, someone that shouldn't have. I don't know. Anyway, that was interesting. Thanks for sharing. A few people fell asleep there, right?
You bet. Well, I'm gonna wake them back up. I'm gonna. What is it? Bring the boom, or I don't know what it is. But
okay.
We're gonna bring it. It's gonna be a little nerdy today. I gotta say that. You gotta get your nerd on for a little bit today, because we're gonna talk about some tax court cases, and we're gonna try and talk about some basics and get people excited. But really, the reality of this self-directed IRA stuff is sometimes it's complicated. But we're going to try and distill some of the cases and concepts down so you can digest it, but also understand what it means to you and how you handle your self-directed investing.
Well, okay, sounds good. We'll let you off the hook, and
fair
I'm going to remember that. My example there that I blew, it would have been really funny if I would have remembered the name, but I'll get it. So, let's bring this up. Let's get it a little more exciting and bring it a little more around to a topic we can relate to. We've got a presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, who has been self-directing his own IRA for years, which we love. I wish I could say he was a client of ours that we taught him how to do that, but he figured it out early on. There's estimates that he has over a $20 million self-directed IRA. Is that a Roth IRA or just a regular IRA self-directed?
His is traditional,
okay.
From my understanding. I mean, he was doing this before the Roth accounts were around, but there's some other pretty – I mean, you know, the Wall Street Journal started reporting on this back when, you know, Romney had to do his financial disclosures, and people were like, wow, how does this guy have $20 million in an IRA? It's blowing people's mind. Well, you know, when you look in the details, you find out pretty quick. He wasn't just going out and buying, you know, General Electric and Coca-Cola and all, you know, those may be good companies and good investments, but you're not going to get to a $20 million IRA that way. Yeah. He was investing in the small companies he knew about and the small investments he knew about and was probably involved in his business life. And so that's how it became huge. But, you know, there's another one. I mean, there's lots of investors out there who are doing this, very well-known investors. You have Peter Thiel, who's the he's a hedge fund manager. He started PayPal. The guy has – he has like an $800 million Roth IRA. I mean, it's got to be like the largest Roth IRA ever. But, you know, like he invested in like – obviously, he was one of the founders of PayPal, one of the early investors in – I don't know if it was Google or Facebook – one of the two. But, I mean, you know, his hedge fund, he gets in on a very ground level, buys in cheap, invests some money, and you know, he's got this huge account now, and that's from self-directed transactions. These aren't investment options, obviously, you're going to get going down to your local credit union or even with, you know, someone like a Fidelity or a Merrill Lynch who's going to give you some investment options for your IRA. These are self-directed type investments people are making.
Wow, I love it. Very interesting. I didn't know that about the PayPal founder. Okay, well, we've already got some questions flying in here. So let's just set out the basics. Now, I know that there's some people on this call that have very high-level experienced questions. We also have people on this call that have never self-directed an IRA or 401k before. So let me set the stage, and then, Matt, why don't you elaborate on the basics. I would just say for everybody, if you should already know, you can take an IRA, SEP, Simple, KEO, 401k, health savings account, any of those tax-preferred vehicles. You can roll them to a custodian. It's going to be tax-free and penalty-free, typically even set up the account free. Some have some smaller nominal cost to set up in an account, but it's basically you're firing your stockbroker, you're moving the money to these custodians, and then they're going to allow you to invest in more alternative investments rather than just Wall Street. So, Matt, take it from there. What are some other basics of what they could invest in and how that process works maybe?
Yeah, so, I mean, some of the most common things people will invest in with self-directed accounts or real estate. If you're listening to AM radio, you've heard probably 100 commercials about using your IRA to go buy precious metals. You know, have a solid gold IRA. I know we've all heard the commercials, but that's the self-directed IRA concept of, you know, I'm going to use this retirement account to buy an investment that's allowed by law. And really, an IRA can buy a retirement plan. If I say IRA, by the way, that's going to include typically 401k or HSA. I get caught up in most of the accounts are IRAs, so I say IRA. But a retirement account can buy really anything except for a few exclusions. You can't buy life insurance. You can't invest in S corporation stock, and you can't invest in things that are deemed collectibles. Now, certain precious metals aren't collectibles, and there's some rules that define that. But I mean, real estate, precious metals, small company stock, like we talked about with Peter Thiel or Mitt Romney, you know, just a small business you want to invest in at a ground level that's non-publicly traded. Maybe you want to loan your retirement plan out and act like a bank or lender, get back interest and points in your retirement account. And there's lots of different things you can do. I have clients who loan money on boats, clients that own patents and intellectual property in their retirement plans. Lots of clients with real estate, clients who are doing IRA LLCs, clients with precious metals, with foreign currency. I mean, some clients have racehorses. There's lots of various things you can do as long as it's an investment.
Okay. So that's this basic. So everybody should be at the same level at this point. I think we're good. Now, we're already getting a number of questions coming in, Matt, which I think are going to drive a lot of our conversation today. And I think I'm going to be able to throw out these softball, more basic questions initially. So if you're on the call here, and again, you're at a higher level, be patient with some of these more basic topics as we get more and more elaborate. If you're basic, and this is a new strategy for some of you, be patient as we get a little more complex. Obviously, I'm going to say this right now. This is something we do every day for clients. We would love to consult with you on self-directing your IRA. And if your IRA sets up an LLC, all of our time is included in that process. And we set up single member LLCs for $750, the lowest in the country, and we set up multi-member LLCs for $1,500, and that includes all of the attorney consultation time, which is, these prices are unheard of nationwide. We've been doing it for 10 years. So you're going to maybe want to set up that consultation with Matt, myself, Jerem, or Lee. Everybody can't have Matt. We know how amazing he is, but Colin tried to make that a point with Matt initially. But but we're a team over here. So let me throw out some of these basic questions again, and we'll get more and more complex. This is from Sinan. Listening to the show right now, Mark, you look amazing on your website. No, Sinan didn't say that. I'm just joking. Okay, it says, listening to the show right now, need some info on this setting up the IRA LLC. When you apply for an EIN for your IRA LLC, the IRS wants to know the Social Security number of the person who is requesting the EIN. If your firm were to do it for a client, do you use the client's Social Security number to apply for the EIN for the IRA LLC or something else?
Ooh, good question. They want to know how we do stuff. Okay.
I know. This is a trade secret. Should we let it out of the bag?
Yeah, these are like trade secrets. I mean, let's just say we take care of it right. No. essentially, what you do is we indicate the client's Social Security number, but we also need to indicate their IRA when you apply for the tax ID. The IRS has changed their systems over the years, and unfortunately, their systems don't really recognize IRAs as you're applying for EINs. When you establish a IRA, there's a Form 5305 that your custodian files with the IRS. They use your Social Security number to establish that IRA, and that's your social really becomes the tax identification for that. So we just use your social, but you have to indicate elsewhere on the form that it is an IRA because you want it to be clear with the IRS that this is for the benefit of your IRA, not you personally.
Yes, great comment. And when we're using a multi-member LLC, it's important to realize we're going to pick and choose who's going to form the LLC as the manager, and we have options to use someone's Social Security number at that point to get the SS4. So remember, this is something that our paralegals are highly trained on, how to fill out those forms so they don't get rejected and you don't have a problem with the IRS later. But Sinan, to answer your question, we use the client's Social Security number in a single-member LLC for the IRA. But that, again, there's going to be variations on that if you have more partners. Okay, another question on the chat line.
You've got to be really careful to caveat. Make sure it's got to state the IRA. But really, this is something that a professional should prepare. Most custodians aren't going to allow someone to be preparing those docs on their own anyways. So they're typically going to require an attorney to be involved. And most attorneys who know how to do these are going to be handling that right and take care of that for you.
Yeah, that's part of our service. So, Sinan, give us a call. Love you. Okay, this is on the chat line. We got a comment from Kirby. Folks, if you're listening on the chat line, we got a lot of listeners online right now. Please feel free to type a question on the chat line. We'll take those as well. This is from Kirby. Which self-directed IRA custodians do you recommend and or use, Matt? That's a good one.
Oh, I don't
know. I know, it's a tough one. We got to be politically correct here, don't we?
They're all great, you know. They're all good.
I can tell you some ones I don't like. Just call me privately. But we could tell you. We could list off. Maybe we should go alphabetically of some of the ones we really like and work with. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. Go for it, Mark. Here's what I'll say is usually what we try and do is work with the custodian you have. If you're currently working with someone, we're typically going to work with who you have. Now, there's certain situations and investments and structures we know certain custodians won't do and certain custodians will. This is a developing area of the law. Lots of custodians have different policies. Just like Merrill Lynch won't let you even buy real estate with your IRA, there's certain custodians who are self-directed who won't do an IRA LLC and let you be the manager, for example. And so, we have our opinion as a lawyer, and we stick to that and issue that to the client in writing about the structure we're setting up. But there are certain custodians who have different policies. So we may steer you to a different custodian if we know the investment you're making isn't supported by that custodian. But Mark, I'll let you go ahead and rattle
okay,
off.
And Kirby, this is a challenging one and delicate one because we do get a lot of referrals from custodians, and we send a lot of referrals to custodians. But I think Matt made a first good point. If you have a custodian already, we're going to encourage you to stay with them unless they're a pain in the butt. And if you want to email me privately, I'll tell you who the pains are. But here, you're going to, if we don't mention them here, those could very well be the case. The first thing, I'm just going to go name three of them alphabetically here, and then Matt, you may want to name three more. American Pension in the A's, right off the bat. We love American Pension. They're out of Salt Lake City. Polycomp in the P's, we love them. I'm going to maybe even mention Pensco out there before Polycomp. Pensco's, they've been around as probably an 800-pound gorilla. They've got an incredible website. They've been around forever. Pensco's great. Polycomp, UDirect, the U's right there after P's. UDirect out of Southern California, Karen Hall. She does a great job out here in Southern California. We're also sponsoring their and UDirect's Real Estate Investment Club this coming year. So we're going to be encouraging you to check out that club. Matt, anybody else you'd add to that list?
Yeah, I mean, there's some other good companies that we do a lot of work with. IRA Services is a good self-directed IRA company. They've been around for a long time as well. I mean, there's lots. Really, you look at the RETA membership. Again, this is a trade organization I spoke at, and Mark's spoken at as well. I mean, most of those companies at that RETA trade organization are going to be very they're going to be able to self-direct your accounts. And really it comes down to what kind of fee structure do you want. They all have different fee structures. What do you like their customer service? Do you want to be located close to them? Do you not? I mean, you know, we obviously have our preferences internally and such. But, again, just contact us. I think that's something we deal individually with about what custodian to work with. It does matter. But once we figure out what you're planning to do, we can – guide you the right custodian that makes sense if you're in the wrong place.
I like it. I like it. Well, Matt, since you just finished talking there, I'm going to field one question, if it's okay. It's a softball again. I'm going to throw the next question to you. This is from Kirby again. He says, if I use my self-directed IRA as a partial owner to a real estate deal I'm purchasing, along with a non-IRA contributor, so let's say it's IRA and sister Susan, and I'm going to buy a piece of real estate. Is it a requirement that the SDIRA be listed on the deed, or would it be possible for the SDIRA to be a partial owner of an LLC and the LLC listed on the deed? First of all, Kirby, your IRA, if you're owning it directly in the name of the IRA with Susan, your partner, for example, you absolutely have to be on title. The IRA has to be on title if it's going to own directly the real estate as a part owner, a tenant in common, 30%, 50%, whatever the deed says. However, your second part of the question is where we would recommend you operate, and that is form an LLC, put the money into the LLC from the IRA with Susan, your partner, putting her money into the LLC, and then the LLC goes on title to the property. That way you're going to have more flexibility and control of the project, and you're going to be able to have the IRA profits, the real estate profits go directly to the LLC, distribute profits as you want, much more flexibility and control of the investment. That's why we recommend LLCs. You also get better asset protection. The list goes on and on. But hopefully that's clear there. Okay, so let's come over here.
Say just another point to that is some custodians, IRA custodians, won't allow you to partner on a property with someone in a tenant in common relationship unless you do an LLC, because there's a lot of back and forth between partners. There's prohibited transaction issues. What's the relationship between the IRA and the other person? How are expenses going to be paid? And there's all those things that a custodian worries about when an IRA partners with somebody on a property or any other investment. And so a lot of times if you're partnering with someone directly with your IRA, the custodian is going to require you to do it in an LLC.
Okay, let's do this here a minute. We've got a couple questions that came in. Also, let me say, if anybody has a live question you want to come on the line and ask a question, please call 646-200-4285. Any of you that are already on the line, you dial number one. Lisa will pick you up in the studio. It's 646-200-4285. We've got a few more email questions here, but before we go back to the emails, let's talk about some of this 2012 update stuff. It may not – there hasn't been this – life-changing, earth-changing court case that has changed the whole spectrum of IRA investing. What happens in our practice is we see little nuances, little cases, little updates that kind of change the way we consult with clients on the little things. Matt, let's just throw out some of these 2012 updates quickly. Let's just rattle them off quickly. We've got a lot of questions here. I'll give an example of one little one. The first one that I would just say is being the manager of your own IRA LLC. This is one we feel very comfortable and confident with. We have special forms that the custodians usually want you to sign. But if you hear out there that you cannot be the manager of your own IRA LLC, you've got the wrong custodian. That's the problem. But that would be a kind of a 2012 strategy update. Matt, would you concur? Anything you want to add to that and maybe give us another one?
Yeah, and I think over time, the law is becoming more clear on that. There's more and more cases getting reported. That's, you know, a little bit of what the newsletter article about. If you didn't get that, you can go to my blog, mattnsorensen.com. I was waiting for the right time to throw that out.
That was nice, Matt. Nice transition.
I got the article up there. But you know, there's some custodians who still won't allow you to be the manager, and so, you know, we're going to steer in the right direction to where you can do that, and we feel like there's plenty of case law, you know, in favor of that position, and we're going to back you up as the attorney is giving you that opinion. That's why one of the reasons you want to work with an attorney. But the one thing I would say is one of the most common investment structures for clients who self-direct investments is using an IRA LLC. Just in general, the general concept of instead of my IRA buying assets, my IRAs can invest in an LLC and own most of the times 100% of the LLC, and that LLC is going to go out and make the investments and execute the transactions, and I'll serve as manager of the LLC pulling that stuff off, signing contracts, paying bills, you know, hiring contractors or whatever it may be that's necessary for the investment. And a lot of clients like that flexibility to be able to execute their transactions. And so there's an old case called Swant and lots of people hear about, but that's really been reaffirmed by two cases. This is, again, in the newsletter. There's a 2011 case called Helwig, a 2012 case called Repetto. The IRS issued a field service advisory. There's lots of stuff on this. And so you know, that's some of the basis for it, and that's part of the update that from the newsletter article is getting into the nitty-gritty details of those cases, which I suspect, Mark, you don't want me to do. So I'm just going over it in a cursory fashion.
I know. I always feel bad, like someone's going to be, like, eating a sandwich, listening to our show at lunch, and they fall asleep and fall into the plate with their face in their lunch because the show is so boring. And I never want that to happen. Or someone's driving down the road and they're like, oh my gosh, this show is so good. And they fall asleep and then careen into someone, you know, head on and die. So we don't want that to happen. So we're going to keep this
light. I don't want the liability of that. You know.
I don't want the liability either. No, we're not assuming liability with that statement. Let me just throw that out. But but let me throw out the newsletter that went out today.
Oh,
and yeah, the newsletter has a couple articles written by Matt that go directly to his blog on the Mitt Romney IRA and also the self-directed IRA LLC 2012 update. And if you want that detail, go read it. It's fantastic. Okay,
I have
now
another
update
item, though, by the way.
Okay, do one more update item. I like it. And then we got a question from Vivian here.
Okay, I was just so excited to talk about this one.
Okay, good. Throw it down.
This has been coming up quite a bit. We're seeing a lot more clients who are investing in precious metals or foreign currency. You know, and I don't proclaim to be an investment expert to say whether that's a good investment or not. Believe me, that's not my level of expertise. But from the legal standpoint, I can comment on that. That's where I'm qualified. If you're doing that with an IRA LLC, there's some couple of things you got to keep in mind. The first and most important thing is you cannot physically hold custody of those assets. So while you may be executing the transaction through the IRA LLC and you might take temporary custody, you know, like actually hold the foreign currency or hold the precious metals, you cannot store those. You can't just go take it to your safe at home and go throw those assets in there. The rules for retirement accounts require those to be held at a financial institution. There's places that store them and stuff like that. The easiest thing, just go open up a safe deposit box, the bank where your IRA LLC's checking account is, store them in the safe deposit box at the financial institution. We feel like that suffices the rule and requirement that the assets not be personally stored and instead stored at a financial institution.
Ooh, I like that. That's a neat little tip.
A lot, by the way.
Now, how do I transport all that gold to the bank to put into my safe deposit box? Maybe I should use like a mini. I could like take some of the things out, put the gold in the mini. There's a movie about that. It's pretty cool. Well, I'm just throwing that out. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, be careful. If you need armed guard service to move all that gold to your safe deposit box at the bank, keep that in mind. Now, I know custodians, they do have a relationship with gold dealers if you are buying precious metals. So talk to your custodian about buying precious metals, whether through an LLC or directly, because there are methods. But you can't buy the gold and put it in your safe at home. That's the point you're making.
Right, or foreign currency, same issue.
Foreign currency. Now, all that Iraqi dinar. Okay, now, this is a question from Vivian. She says, hi, Mark. Awesome topic. Matt has been helping me with this very thing. I just need clarification. Can I set up the self-directed Roth IRA today with plans to buy real estate with it in the future, maybe next year, and contribute it to it then? Does the LLC that is associated with it need to be set up at the same time, or can I set up that later as well when I'm ready to make the real estate purchase? So it's kind of a timing question, Matt. Does that make sense? You want to throw that down?
Yeah. Generally, what I'm going to recommend is the client just set up the LLC at the point they want to contribute from the IRA into the LLC. If you're not going to theoretically, I guess to answer the question specifically, you could set up the LLC now but not put any money into it from the IRA yet. Theoretically, you could do that, but I probably wouldn't because you can't do anything with the LLC yet until the money's in there, really. I mean, that you've got to have money to make an investment and execute transactions. So my general advice would be, even though I'd love to set up the LLC now, I don't think that makes sense. I would really just wait until you have the money in the retirement plan, you're ready to start investing. At that point, you know, maybe a month in advance before you're ready there, contact us and we'll get the LLC set up at that point, and then the money will go from the IRA into the LLC.
Yeah, and Vivian, let me just add this too. The timing is something that is important, because if your IRA is currently invested in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and it's doing okay, leave it there until you're ready to self-direct. Then move it to the custodian, set up the LLC, move the money, get to work. If you're not going to buy anything until next year, realistically, setting up the self-directed IRA or the LLC at this point is probably premature. Get ready to go. Do it all at the same time when you're ready to roll. Okay, now here's a question from Jan, Y-A-N, Jan or Jan. I'm sorry if I say that wrong. Mark, thanks for hosting this IRA radio show. I have a question. Oh, man, Matt, I really want to answer this one because it's so cool. But I'll let you do it. It's a slam dunk. You just start dribbling, dude. You're going to the hoop.
All right, just
how does an IRA tax me? Okay, here it is. I'm throwing up the ball. How does the IRS tax me if I convert from a traditional IRA to a self-directed Roth IRA?
Boom.
Boom.
Ouch. Well, that's not a slam dunk. I mean, it's an easy
question. What is it? Well, let me say this. Well, first of all, when you convert from a traditional IRA to a self-directed IRA, there's no tax. When you convert from a traditional IRA to a self-directed IRA, convert from a traditional IRA, 401k to a self-directed 401k, there's no tax. The issue here is switching to the Roth.
Right.
And that's where you're going to pay some tax. Yeah. So there's a little bit of a slam dunk there.
You should have just taken that one down the lane and just dunked it on your own, you know. just take it to the hole. But, one thing that we do once clients start wanting to self-direct, because I do see a lot of clients who at the moment of wanting to start self-directing and moving over, they do want to convert to a Roth account. And that's when it becomes taxable, you know, when you make that conversion. And, you know, we can get more specific about what the impact is to you when you do that. But if you're just moving from a traditional account to self-directed account, that's not a conversion. You're really just rolling over. It's totally a tax-neutral thing. You're just getting to a different place that allow you to make alternative investments and won't just make you buy mutual funds.
There you go. Now, the follow-up to this is, of course, they deduct the taxes not from your Roth IRA. So if you convert from a traditional to a Roth. Now, everybody, there's some important points here. We're going to do a radio show on this before the end of the year because this is kind of really not self-directed type topic per se, but let me just say this. When you convert from a traditional IRA to a Roth, you have to do it before the end of this year, December 31st. There's a special form. You can reclassify and say, oops, I changed my mind, all the way up until April 15th. So if you're thinking about doing it, make the conversion now and then reevaluate by April 15th when the tax is due. The tax does not come out of your Roth IRA. You have to pay for it out of your own pocket. So be ready to pay the taxes out of your own pocket if you're going to do a conversion. The taxes are not typically incurred on the conversion date. However, it isn't a bad idea to do a withholding to send in so that you get it out of sight, out of mind. Also, on what tax rate will you be charged? Great question, Jan. You are going to be taxed at your typical standard tax rate, whatever that is. So if you have a self-directed IRA of 50 grand and you also earn 40 grand, the tax rate is based on the 90. So you have to look at your effective tax rate, your adjusted gross income, yada, yada, yada. Now, we can help run those numbers for you. This is why people will make the election to do it, then wait until the spring when they file their tax return and go, ooh, that's too high, I changed my mind. So you've got that change your mind option, and just make sure you deal with it before April 15th. Okay, question from Chris. Matt, can a self-directed 401k borrow funds for an investment other than a direct purchase of property? For instance, can I borrow from my 401k or can my 401k borrow? But let's just stick with his exact words here. He says, for instance, could my 401k borrow funds to provide a hard money loan to an investor for a fix and flip? Assume borrow funds are non-recourse and non-prohibited people are involved. So it sounds like Chris is really asking, could his 401k borrow from someone else, then turn around and loan it to someone else in a hard money situation, make a bigger rate of return, and turn around and pay back the other people and keep the profit in his 401k. Is that doable?
Yes. Theoretically, that would be doable. That would be acceptable. Yeah, he's noted a couple of important points in there. There is whenever your retirement plan is getting a loan and you're getting debt, in addition to purchasing property, you're getting a non-recourse loan. Most people do that when they're buying, like, you know, a piece of rental real estate. Maybe their IRA has half the money or their 401k has half the money, and they get a non-recourse mortgage or loan to fund the balance. Non-recourse basically means you're not personally guaranteeing the loan. That's prohibited under the IRA rules. So there's non-recourse loans that you get. But yeah, you could do that. I mean, the other important distinction here with the 401k is what happens whenever you get a loan and leverage your IRA's investment power with debt. You know, so whenever you're going to be able to buy more of an investment or invest more money because you're getting debt or a loan is involved, you're going to have to pay taxes on the profits the IRS attributes to debt. Super complicated. I know, super boring. But if you're doing it with a 401k, you don't even need to worry about it. You don't even need to get bored. 401ks are exempt from this tax. It's called UDFI tax that, is, again, an IRA can be subjected to if there's debt involved in the investment. So here, effectively, there would be debt involved, but it's a 401k, which is exempt under the rules. So theoretically, it could work. It's not a common structure, but yeah, theoretically, I think it could work.
Well, and Matt, let me highlight this as a 2012 update item per se. And again, folks, please know, Matt and I have taught in a full-day class on these topics. Some of you may be going, oh my gosh, these guys are jumping all over, and it's a there's a lot here. This is why a consult, you know, specific to your situation is important. But this show is fun. This is great stuff, and everybody should know this, and everybody doesn't, which is regrettable. So here's the thing. On that update, keep in mind, Matt made a very good point, and I want to make this clear for everybody and just restate it. If your IRA is going to borrow money to invest, it may have to pay what's called UDFI, unrelated debt financed income. If your 401k is going to borrow money to invest in real estate or arbitrage or whatever, your 401k does not pay UDFI. So sometimes people will have our clients move their IRA into a 401k under their S corporation to do the deals. So the 401k gets preferential treatment. Could be a good move. Number two, IRAs and 401ks both pay UBTI, unrelated business taxable income, if they're in an operational type business, fixing and flipping, rehabbing, restaurant, whatever. You're going to pay, the IRA will pay some tax. That's okay if you're getting a greater rate of return than the tax. So just keep that in mind. Matt, let me throw out a question here from Gene. How can we locate a worthwhile local retirement financial advisor, one that understands self-directed IRAs? Tough.
Usually what I tell clients is this is really a niche industry, and there's certain things that make sense to buy locally or to talk to someone locally about. This is not one of them, though, because for a lot of people, the right professionals and the people who know the most and can be the most helpful to you are likely not going to be local. It's just not a big enough area of the law or a big enough area for financial planners where you get a lot of people who know about this stuff. So I would just try and seek them out on a national basis as opposed to a local basis, just because you're going to be much more likely to get someone who's knowledgeable. In this information age, it's pretty easy to get advice by phone or teleconference, email. I mean, all that, those methods of communication are pretty fast and effective.
Okay,
If you're lucky, you know, and you're in a place that's got someone local, you're lucky. But for most clients, I haven't found that to be the case.
Yeah, no, good point. Now, let me throw this out, Gene, as well. Sometimes you can start out by just calling your custodian that you're working with and saying, hey, I want those financial services because I want a one-stop shop. I know some financial custodians have a 401k investment advisory relationship with others. I know American Pension has tried to facilitate that. So you might be able to get both services at one by asking what options they might provide and if they have a recommendation of someone they like. Do your interviews, do your due diligence, let us know if you have any questions too. That could help out. Now we're getting back down to our last couple minutes, so if anybody has a quick question, throw it out on the chat line or an email. I'll hit refresh here. Let me throw out one other quick 2012 update perspective. I think this is something Matt and I are talking about more, and then I'll let Matt give any summary points here for our show. The one thing I would just say is, folks, keep in mind that you can do a 60-day rollover with an IRA. That means pull money out, use it, put the money back in 60 days, and you get to use the profit personally, but you don't pay any taxes or penalty, and you can start, hit the reset button and do it every 60 days. So you're not borrowing from your IRA, you're doing a 60-day rollover. The point is, you cannot do a 60-day rollover with a 401k. However, can you borrow from a 401k? Yes, you can borrow up to $50,000 or 50%, whichever is less, and use that money personally, and you're paying back potentially tax-deductible interest to your 401k tax-free, which is pretty cool. But you can't do that with an IRA. But then remember, with a 401k, you don't have UDFI, but you do with an IRA. So you can see this, folks, that sometimes you have to look at, what am I trying to accomplish, and is an IRA or a 401k better for me in my situation? So the 60-day rollover and the borrowing provisions play into this equation as well. So keep that in mind. Matt, thoughts, comments? What are you thinking? Anything you want to kind of wrap this up on? Any other updates you got here?
No, but I didn't have any other specific update items. But one of the things I just want to touch on briefly here that we kind of maybe glossed over in this discussion of self-directed IRAs or retirement plans is there is a set of privity transaction rules. And when you're making self-directed investments, for those who may be new to this, that's the first thing you really got to wrap your head around is, what are the privity transaction rules? We have lots of resources on those. It's one of the most common things we consult clients about, what you can and can't do. But the IRS essentially set up a set of rules that say, we're not going to let your retirement plan do transactions with certain people because we don't trust that they're going to do them in a tax-neutral way. They think there's going to be abuse of those transactions. The people they don't trust are the IRA owner. So if I have a rental property that I own in my personal name or a company I own 50% or more of, I can't sell that rental property to my own IRA. That's prohibited. They think I'm going to give some unfair price and avoid tax on it. My spouse is prohibited. My kids are prohibited. My parents are prohibited. Now, my in-laws, interestingly enough, are not prohibited, nor are my siblings and more distant family members. But, again, this is something we consult lots of clients about. But you got to understand that first because, especially as you're thinking about partnering with people and doing certain deals and involving family members, there's a lot of landmines and things that can happen that can disqualify your IRA and cause some tax and penalty.
Okay, Matt, great summary comment. Now, let me make a few summary points here. Joe Glow, your question about what are the thoughts using a solo 401k checkbook IRA that does not require a separate custodian. You know what? That'll be our tax tip next week on next week's radio show. We've got to cut it off here, make a couple summary points. So please check us out next week on the show, and we'll cover that question first and foremost right off the bat. Couple summary points. If you need Matt Sorensen, please give us a call at the home office, 435-586-9366. Make an appointment. Your consult fee will be applied towards an LLC if you do decide to set one up. And also keep in mind, November 3rd, we're doing our workshop in Phoenix, and we're having an open house at our new Phoenix location, November 2nd. You'll see some announcements about that. So if you're in the Arizona area, please try to swing over to Phoenix for the open house and the workshop. And Matt, I want to just say thank you for coming on the show. You are just awesome. We always appreciate you here on the show. You do a fantastic job.
You are awesome, Mark Kohler. I'm always an honor.
Thanks for that. Well, everybody, I hope you had another awesome experience here on the Mark Kohler Show every Tuesday at 11 Pacific.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.